my old lady done run off with the Iceman. That done my daughter run off with the Undertaker. And I'm about to die. I ain't got nobody to bury me.
So what can be worse?
Oh boy, here comes the Colonel.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot. That's my friends from Comedy Central doing auditions down the hall, sneaking in here, disrupting a science news radio, a serious science news program. Okay, welcome back to the second half hour of The Promise of Tomorrow. I'm your host. I'm Colonel Mason. We're going to get back to our interview in just a minute with Patrick Diamond. He's going to be presenting at the IEEE Homeland Security Technology Conference on recovery of GPS-based assured timing critical by attacks of spoofing and jamming. Fascinating guy. And, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. But right now, let's step over to our fountain of useless information we keep here on the set. Rummage around the coin jar a minute for today's query.
Well, what do you say? To the fountain of useless information. How can I help
you? There he is. We have awakened the spirit of the fountain because we threw in the coins. The spirit of the fountain, who knows all, hears all, sees all, and tells all for a price. All right. Oh, spirit of the fountain, here is one for you. This shouldn't be too difficult. The world traveler that you are. What country's $2 bill features 6 Eskimos, 4 kayaks, and 2 spears? No, I'm not kidding. It's true. The $2 bill of what country features 6 Eskimos, 4 kayaks, and 2 spears? Oh, spirit of the fountain.
I have given you my answer. Now you may tell me.
Well, well, well. Yes, yes, yes. The spirit of the fountain knows. Knows is international currency. The country whose $2 bill features 6 Eskimos, 4 kayaks, and 2 spears. If you said Canada, you know, darn it, you're right. It's Canada. Okay. Let's get back to our program. All right, we're back with our guest, Patrick Diamond. He's going to be speaking at the IEEE Homeland Security Technology Conference. If you listen to the first half hour, you know he's going to be presenting detection, mitigation, and recovery of attacks by spoofing and jamming of our GPS systems.
Why do we operate on a fault response basis? In other words, we don't do anything about it until it fails. What I'm presenting is a mechanism that is what's called out of band that will allow us to monitor the performance of the receivers in real time and detect when an event is beginning. It can be done inexpensively. It can be done universally throughout the United States. It can be done as an out-of-band signal. In other words, you don't have to do anything to your receiver. You don't have to do anything to it. And it will produce alarms and give those people that have an invested interest in critical infrastructure insight into its operation.
Well, I would think that this device should be mandatory in every single area that is critical to our infrastructure using GPS.
Well, I'm hopeful that DHS agrees with you.
So that's what we're hoping to do, to alert people that that this is a real danger, that there can be ways of protecting from it, and that's where it gets into the mitigation and recovery of the GPS assured timing critical infrastructure and the detection.
Well, here, let me give you a couple of examples where the current approach to providing backup for GPS receivers typically is to put in another GPS receiver. So if one fails, dies, the other one does its thing and life is good. But if they're under an attack by a spoofer or a jammer, they're both down.
Yeah, that'd knock them both out, wouldn't it?
There's another circumstance which you might recall. Remember when Hurricane Sandy came through New York City and just raised holy Hades?
Can't forget that.
Okay. Well, you know, remember the New York Stock Exchange was out of commission for 3 days?
Yeah.
Why do you think that was?
I'm
Yes, loss of power because of the power grid?
Nope. All of the trading facilities in the and the New York Stock Exchange has diesel generators that run for weeks.
Okay.
The servers weren't flooded. Very simple. The GPS antennas on the top of the New York Stock Exchange building got blown down.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it took a day and a half before they figured out they couldn't perform the trades because they didn't have accurate time.
Well, that could happen with our power grid. That could happen with any number of critical things in the country.
It could happen with any of the critical infrastructure that exists unless we have a mechanism that allows us to know that the critical infrastructure itself is under some form of misbehavior, whether it's intentional or unintentional, doesn't matter,
mm-hmm.
and allow us to take a data-driven event response during the period of time when you can maintain operation without failure instead of having to wait for it to fail, send somebody out there to figure it out, and then fix it.
Yeah. Woo, Patrick, you've given us a whole bunch of stuff to think about. Is there going to be one big message that you're going to want to leave the audience with as kind of the parting message at this?
The message I would leave, Colonel, and thank you for the question, is we are at risk, and we need to behave as though we understand we're at risk and take steps to mitigate that risk as best we can.
Okay. Now, what have I missed? What haven't I asked you about this? I didn't ask you price or availability or production or any number of other things. Are you set up to really supply in large amounts?
Those are questions that are outside the scope of the IEEE conference.
Mm-hmm.
Those are sales-type questions. There's development to be done. There's a lot of things to be done in this context. My purpose in this is to present what I believe is a viable alternative to the risk we are sharing. And hopefully, as a result of that, and with the what I'm going to call elegance, and I pardon for being egotistical in that context, the elegance of the solution and the simplicity of its implementation, that it might get adopted.
Okay. All right. Well, you've been a fascinating guest. I wonder if maybe you could put on your futuristic cap there for a minute, look down the road maybe 5, 10, 15 years or so. Where do you see society going? What do you see a future here? I mean, a number of years ago, none of us could dream of a GPS system. There was early people wondering what sort of use there was going to be for the space program. Well, we see all sorts of things now. What do you see coming to us in the future?
Well, the U.S. Air Force, who is the owner of the GPS constellation, and the U.S. Navy's Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C., who kind of operates it, they're intimately aware that there's an issue. And the Air Force, in conjunction with its vendors, is producing much more sophisticated satellites, which will make it much more difficult for somebody to spoof or jam the entire system. And those satellites are planned to be placed into space, and probably by the year 2030, a lot of these issues will be mitigated. However, the technology is still going to be a receive-only device, and the information used by the commercial world, the industrial world, will be in the public domain as it is today.
Mm-hmm.
So the people, the bad actors as we call them, will be able to figure out a way to do this no matter what we do, if they are so inclined.
Patrick, you've just been...
This is a problem that's not going to disappear. And it's just something that that the powers that be need to treat critical infrastructure as they treat any other critical system, and they're all monitored. in real time.
Patrick, you've been a wealth of information. We're really looking forward to hearing your presentation at the IEEE Homeland Security Technology Conference that's going to go on the 25th and 26th of April in Boston at the Westin Hotel. You can find out more information about that at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link. Now, Patrick, before we get out of here, I know that during the course of your life, with your vast experience, 30 years... in advanced communications, you've mentored and you've been mentored. Can you give us maybe a words of wisdom, a creed to live by, something that you might tell a child, or you might tell a brother, or you might tell somebody who is interested in, you know, how to conduct their life?
All I can do is share a premise that has been very near and dear to my heart for a long time, and that is very simple. If somebody tells you that something is impossible, that usually means that less than 5% of the entire solution is misunderstood or not known. Figure it out.
Patrick Diamond, absolutely fascinating guest here on the program today, talking about detection and mitigation and recovery of GPS-based assured timing critical infrastructure that could be under attack by spoofing or jamming, and we found out that spoofing is even worse than jamming. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll look forward to seeing you at the conference, and we really do appreciate
your
time.
My pleasure.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Okay, yes, the weeks were gearing up to the IEEE 2017 International Conference on Homeland Security Technology. It's going to be April 25th and 26th this spring, coming up at the Westin Hotel in Waltham, Massachusetts, and, of course, that's Boston. This is a famous and historic international conference on Homeland Security Technology gaps. Key technical gaps are going to be closely examined, as they are every year. Experts gather from all over the world to confer to frame the challenges in protecting homeland assets. This year, the keynote speaker is Kay Goss, president of the World Disaster Management. And the technical program is all about emerging technologies in cybersecurity, land and maritime border security. There's biometrics and forensics. More biometrics all the time. It's getting to be really a very, very interesting subject of the show. Attack and disaster preparation, of course, and recovery and response. And, of course, strategy and threat characterizations. ConOps is in it. Risk analysis, modeling, simulation, experimentation, and exercises in training, plus test beds, standards, performance, and evaluation. Sponsored by the Massachusetts Port Authority, one of the sponsors of the event, and they do a lot of buying of Homeland Security hardware and software, because it's a very sensitive thing to keep the Port of Massachusetts safe and secure. And high traffic networking. So if you attend, you'll be able to interact with other key attendees, and expect to see government officials, systems integrators, research laboratories, small businesses, academic institutions, industry leaders, and investors. One of the key developers of the conference is Fausto Molinet. He is the founder of Matrix Corporation, and he's in Boston. We spoke with Fausto not too long ago on how the show came together in the first place, and here is a portion of that conversation. All right, now I want to change gears here just a little bit. You're really involved with a very successful Homeland Security conference that takes place in Boston every year. Were you at the beginnings of that? Were you part of the formulation early?
Yes, I was. There were several of us here in the Boston section who recognized after the 2001 attacks in New York and Washington that there needed to be a stronger emphasis on technology solutions to assist in Homeland Security. It's not the only thing that makes Homeland Security work, but technology solutions are very important. And so we said, let's come up with something that will introduce those kinds of technologies that are being developed for 3 to 5 years from today to be deployed. We would like to have a conference that will showcase those technologies, that will bring together people from the Homeland Security sector to talk about what they need, to take a look at some of these solutions, see whether or not they'll work, give inventors and early stage entrepreneurs and companies that are doing advanced research in this area an opportunity to present what they're doing. We were surprised that it took off. Well, maybe not surprised is not exactly the right word. We knew there was a need for that, but it took off pretty well. We got more papers than we expected for our first conference, and the numbers have grown beyond our expectations pretty much every year since then. And we've grown from about 100 people at the first conference up to nearly 500 now, and the participation is international in scope. We've had people from Poland to China and all countries in between attending and presenting. We hear from leading technology companies like Raytheon down to two guys across the kitchen table with an idea for detecting liquid explosives. So it just runs the gamut of pretty much everything, and it's an awful lot of fun to produce, and we feel it's helped a lot in introducing some of these people to the DHS market.
Yeah, I can imagine it's been a really fun thing to put together, and every year it's grown larger, and you say 500 people. But I think the point is these are very, very high-quality people. They're not tire kickers. These are really high-quality people that attend this event.
Right. That's true. We try to make sure of that. I mean, anybody can come that wants to attend. But we see a very high percentage of the people are those who are presenting the papers or perhaps offered us one that we didn't accept. Quite a number of the people that attend are government employees who are actively seeking or at least wanting to hear about what the latest ideas are. And sometimes some of the government agencies are there talking about what they do and what they can do for the companies who are developing technologies. They have some terrific testing and evaluation facilities that are available, and they like to let people know what they can do to support the introduction of these ideas.
Well, the next IEEE Homeland Security event...
It's probably going to be 2 days. We do have a third-day option if we see a good reason to extend it. We're adding some tutorials to it, and it may cause it to extend over 3 days. I'm not sure exactly what the status on the third day is at this point, but hopefully it will be a little longer. We like to make it bigger every year.
What can you tell us about this particular event? Is there anything outstanding that we need to know at this time, or are you still developing?
In the meantime, we're still soliciting exhibitors and sponsors for the conference, and we have a whole program that allows people who are offering products or services for sale in the Homeland Security industry to be able to be there and interact with all of the conference attendees and showcase what they have to offer. We do have an opportunity for about 16 spaces in that. It's a small exhibit program, but it's always been pretty successful, and they get very good access to all of the attendees.
All right. We're looking forward to the event. It's certainly is exciting now. This is the, it's been going on since 2001, I understand. You get it together pretty quick after 9/11, didn't you?
We did. I don't remember. I think our first conference was like in the late spring after 9/11, and we actually ran two conferences a year for a couple of years, but it turned out that was an awfully hard thing to do, particularly using volunteer resources, which we mostly use for our program. So we shifted pretty quickly to one conference per year, and that's been very successful for us. Normally it has been in the spring of every year and from now on.
And And if the weather in Boston holds fine, then you will never get any interference with a snowstorm or anything.
Yeah, well, we'll probably keep it pretty early.
Well, we're winding the interview down, Fausto. Is there anything that that I missed?
No, I don't think so. I think we've covered pretty much everything. I mean, I could probably talk forever, and I'm sure you could, but we'll give everyone else a break and let somebody else have the chance to say something.
Is there anything in the way of breaking news that that we can use?
You can see who those all are at our conference website, which is www.IEEE-HST.org. And so you can find out if the people who are speaking are someone that you would really like to meet. And if so, I would strongly recommend attending the conference.
Okay, good. We've been speaking with Fausto Molinet. He's a founder of Matrix Corporation. He also is one of the founders and the leaders in the IEEE Homeland Security Technologies Conference that goes on in Boston every year. Going to be in the spring time this year. It's April 25th through the 26th. You can learn more about that at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you will see a link. Or you can go to IEEE-HST.org. It would be IEEE-HST for Homeland Security Technologies.org. This is a famous and historic international conference on Homeland Security, and the keynote speaker this year is Kay Goss. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast at promiseoftomorrow.biz. And at this time, I want to thank you very much for those of you who have contributed to this program. We depend on contributions from listeners like you for the existence of this show. We're totally science community supported. So those of you who have contributed, thank you very much. Those of you who wish to can do so at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a little tab there for donations. Just click the donations, and we appreciate all your help.
And now, we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
I do believe that civilized society going through what essentially formats our life is the technology around. There would be no exaggeration to say that everything we do today, this is the result of invention of one thing, of transistor, in 1948 by Bell Laboratories. And I would say that everyone who wants to have a full, accomplished life should be somewhat educated. The word of wisdom, try to educate yourself. Try to be educated. Try to be not simply just a member of a society. Try to understand what's going on around you to the technology which surrounds us, to the standards of living which we have because of this. So you would hear me saying that being an educated member of society, that's what is important in my mind. Sam Milstein, professor of electrical and computer engineering department at University of Massachusetts in Lowell.
So you decide. Has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
Waiting for you.